Amen. How many this morning have never heard Brother Brian Woods? Amen, brother. You got a fresh crowd. Amen. You come on. Brother Brian's met him here a while back. He called me a while back, and we got talking and wanted to come meet me. And Brother Steve had been telling me for some time I need to get a hold of him and meet him and get to know him. And I've got to see him in a few meetings and talk to him. And God just laid him on my heart for this morning's service. So just give him your undivided attention.
Praise the
brother.
Lord. Amen.
They're all yours.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's fresh water for you, brother.
Thank you. Thank you very much. As you can tell, I always am nervous when I preach anywhere. So I'm very nervous this morning. But I appreciate Brother Dennis giving me this opportunity, the Lord opening up doors. Last Sunday, I don't know if you had this problem, Brother Dennis, I was like completely sick, and I was preaching Sunday night, and I looked at the crowd, and I said, half of them ain't even getting this, and I'm not even getting it either. So, I'm glad Jesus is alive.
Amen.
He arose from the grave,
amen,
conquering death, hell, and the grave, and he's coming again.
Amen.
I'm glad for that day he saved my soul, amen?
Amen.
When I gave my heart and life to him, I never forget that day. I remember it very well as a young boy, and I was at State Line Baptist Church. Don Cunningham was the pastor then, and I was so glad then that they still preach there was a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and they weren't afraid to preach the gospel, preach the word, and I gave my heart and life to Jesus that night. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 28. I probably won't be too long this morning, and I know every time you hear a preacher say that, you're like, okay. But I seriously probably I won't be too long this morning. Just want to give you a few things the Lord laid on my heart here this morning. And you've been sitting a while, so if you're able, stand for the reading of God's Word. If you're not able, just you can stay seated. Verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for the fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet, and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. I want to preach on this thought here this morning. The fear not of the resurrection.
Amen.
The fear not of the resurrection. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time you have given us. We thank you, Lord, for arising from the grave, Lord, and we thank you for saving our soul, Lord. I pray that you'll be with this message here this morning. I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know you as Savior, today would be a great day to get right with you, Lord. I pray they get saved, Father. I pray for the child of God, Lord, that's struggling on life's way, that you touch them, Lord. Again, we just give you all the praise and glory for it. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Fear not as the flower which grows plentifully in God's garden. I gather from the plentifulness of fear not. Even the Old Testament that the Lord does not wish his people to be afraid, that he is glad to see his people full of courage, and he does not love them to be afraid of him. He would have his children treat with confidence. Salvage fear may be thought of to be congenital to the Old Testament, and yet is not so. For the Lord cries of his chosen, "Fear not." That was Charles Spurgeon. We live in a time where many folks don't want to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We live in a time where people think it's a lot easier just to reject God's word and just live their life the way they want to live because it's easier. We see here, matter of fact, throughout God's word, you will find in some of the Gospels that most of them did not believe Christ arose. We think about Thomas in a way that he would not believe that Jesus arose from the grave unless he put his hand in his side and into the prints. We see here that many of them feared deception. They didn't want to be deceived. You know, God knows our hearts here this morning. God knows your heart right now. God knew the heart of the disciples and the heart of the believers. Matter of fact, what they were doing, they were going to see Jesus' body. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute here. Think about, I will say this, it's easy for us to criticize the people in the Bible and say, well, they should have just believed because God said he was going to arise. But you know what? We would be exactly like them. Hey, we would have saw our Lord Jesus being beaten and crucified. If we would have saw Jesus the way he was marred more than any other man. If we would have saw Jesus Christ bloodied, battered, and beaten, hanging on that cross, I believe we would have doubted ourselves that Jesus arose. Hey, no man could have survived that. But what they didn't realize was Jesus was no ordinary man. He was God in flesh, amen. Hey, he came down to save us from our sins. Hey, he told them that he would come, that he would die, and he would rise again. And that's exactly what he did. He came, he died, and he arose again. And we see this event right now that Jesus Christ is alive. Hey, we see here that God knows our hearts. Hey, he knows your heart here this morning. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're feeling right now. He knows if you're right. He knows if you're born again. And if he knows you're just playing around. If you're just playing religion. Hey, religion will send you to hell. Amen. But Jesus Christ will send you to heaven. Amen. Hey, we see here. Hey, he knows our hearts. Hey, I want to tell you this. What a good feeling to hear these words. That he is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day arise again." Jesus knows our fears. He knows what you're fearful of. Hey, the Bible says fear him. You know, through the Word of God, I believe it's 340 times, don't quote me on that, that the Bible says to fear not to fear. Fear doesn't come from the Lord. And I'm going to make sure I get this correct. Matter of fact, I better turn there. I was going to say, but you know, I always like to try to make sure I get Scripture correct. I don't want to not get it correct, but the Lord doesn't give us a spirit of fear. Turn to Timothy. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Hey, fear doesn't come from the Lord. You know where fear comes from? From Satan. He wants you to fear that is Jesus really alive. He wants you to fear to giving your life to him. Hey, but I want to tell you something. I'd rather give my life to Jesus. And they say, what if he isn't really real? Well, I'd rather have the safety insurance, amen. I'd rather be made. I want to make sure that I'm going to heaven, amen. I want to make sure that I'm right with God. Hey, I'm just thankful for the Lord. He knows our fears. Matter of fact, he knew the fear of Mary. When Mary Mary didn't believe right off the bat that Jesus was alive. Mary Magdalene, and if you see in John's account, John chapter 20, she wanted to know where the body of Jesus was laid. Verse 15 in chapter 20, Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." She, right here, she didn't believe right off the bat that Jesus was alive. She believed that someone was trying to deceive them. She believed that someone took his body. Matter of fact, in Luke's account, you'll find that when the ladies came back, the Bible says that the disciples thought that they were idle tales. But this can't be true. I saw what happened to Christ. No man could survive that. But he's alive.
Amen.
He is alive. Amen. Hey, no, we should have already came in here ready to worship and praise God because he's alive. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hey, you know what? Many people want to believe in our hearts. Well, in their heart of hearts, they felt he's not alive. But the Bible says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can't trust in your feelings. You can't trust, well, I don't feel that he's arose again. You can't trust in that. You know, I could feel one way the next day, and the next day I could feel it completely different. But I'm thankful he is alive. During World War II, the Germans forced many 12- and 13-year-old boys into the Junior Gestapo. These boys were treated very harshly and given inhumane jobs to perform. When the war ended, most had lost track of their families and wandered without food and shelter. As part of an aid program to a post-war Germany, many of these Jews were placed in tent cities. Here, doctors and psychologists worked with the boys to in attempt to restore their physical and mental health. They found that many of the boys would awaken in the middle of the night, screaming in terror. One doctor had an idea for handling that fear. After feeding the boys in a large meal, he put them to bed with a piece of bread in their hands, which they were to save until morning. The boys then slept soundly because, after so many years of hunger, they finally had assurance for food of the next day. I want to tell you something. I have the assurance right in my hand that Jesus Christ is alive and well.
Amen.
The Word of God tells me that Jesus is alive. The Word of God tells me that Jesus Christ is coming again. You know what else the assurance that we have? The empty tomb, amen. Hey, if you ever go over Israel, that tomb is empty, amen. Many will say, well, that might not be the tomb. Well, guess what? If that's not the tomb, his tomb is exactly the same. It's empty, amen. Hey, I'm so thankful that I have a God that is alive and well. I'm glad I don't serve a dead God like Muhammad. I'm glad I don't serve a dead God like Buddha. I'm glad I don't serve a dead God like Hare Krishna or whoever you want to put as God, amen. My God is alive. My God's coming again. Hey, Jesus Christ is coming again. Secondly, not only did our Lord knows that we fear deception, but our Lord arose because many of us fear death. One of these days, we're going to die. And it doesn't matter how old you are either. In my life, when I was in high school, I've always said this to a lot of my friends. They said, "Well, I have the rest of my life." I said, "No, you don't. You don't have the rest of your life." The year I was to graduate, before graduation came, maybe a few weeks or close to a month, a boy was killed in a motorcycle accident. He probably thought that he had the rest of his life to make decisions. He probably thought that he had the rest of his life to make plans. But you don't have the rest of your life. Listen to me here. Listen, Jesus Christ wants you to be right today. You could walk out these doors and not walk back in. I'm not trying to scare anybody here. I'm just giving you fact and truth, amen? I'm just telling you right now that if you're not right with Jesus Christ and you die today, you have rejected God and you have chosen your destiny. But Jesus is giving you a chance today. He's giving you this opportunity this morning on resurrection morning to be resurrected with Him. Amen. Hey, you know what? You're dead in your sins right now. Hey, if you were to go out these doors, you'd be lost in your sin, dead. But if you come today, you'll be resurrected with Him. You'll be a new creature. Amen. You'll have Jesus Christ in your life. Jesus conquered death. The disciples feared His death was final. They said that was it. That He's dead. But all I want to tell you, He knew their hearts. He knew that they wouldn't believe that He arise again. So He had to prove it to them. Amen. He came to them. Not only does our Lord... not only did our Lord arose and because we feared death, but lastly here I want to hit on this. Our Lord goes even though we fear our duty. This morning, you have a duty. If you are a child of God here this morning, your job's not just to sit on the pew. It's just not the pastor's job here to go out there and knock on doors or hand out tracts or talk to a friend. It's not just a pastor's job. I hear many people say, well, that's not my job. That's the pastor's job. No, you're a child of God. It's your job to go out there, tell your lost family member, tell your lost friend, or go out there to your coworker and be able to be a witness to them. Tell, hey, you know what? You want to know why most people don't want nothing to do with Christianity? Because they don't see the living Savior in us. You know what? I think the world is tired of seeing soured, puffed Christians. Looks like a hamster with their lips pointed out, you know, their cheeks and the... They're tired of seeing defeated Christians. We are victorious. We need to live victorious for Christ. Jesus goes before us. He went before them. Jesus goes before us to be your Lord. If Jesus is before you, leading your way, what do you have to fear? This is the man that's been through everything. This is the man that's conquered death. This is the man that's been tempted by Satan and has been victorious. You say, how can I get through my day when Satan's always attacking me? Do what Jesus did. Quote Scripture to him. Exactly what Jesus did. You don't have to try to defeat this life and the burdens of this life alone. You're not alone. Jesus Christ is alive in you. It's to be our Lord. And to show us how to serve Him. Jesus Christ is alive. Hey, don't fear. Don't fear that Christ is not alive. Don't be deceived by Satan. Satan wants to say, how do you know all this is true? He wants to count doubt in your mind. He wants everyone in this room. You know, matter of fact, most people were probably waking up in the morning and seeing these cars in here. Say, them crazy Christians, what are they doing in that church house this early in the morning? It's just crazy. But we got something that they don't have. We got something. We got something much sweeter that when we wake up in the morning that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that our Lord lives. Amen. That our Lord lives. I want to leave you with this. I know it was shorter. I didn't know how long I had. But I want to read this here this morning. They laid his body in Joseph's new tomb and filled his disciples with sorrow and gloom. They did not remember what he had said, that he would die, but he wouldn't stay dead. Mary came to the break of day and found the stone was rolled away. She saw an angel and in terror and fled and told his disciples that he didn't stay dead. In that cold, dark tomb, he could not stay. He conquered death and walked away. And now the old grave has lost its fear and dread. He lives again. He wouldn't stay dead. Full atonement and pardon was made. And forever the sin debt is marked fully paid. The price was his blood as it flowed crimson red. And I'm thankful today that he didn't stay dead. Let's go to our churches and cry aloud. Let's go to the marketplace and talk to the crowd. Let's go to the mission fields that lie up ahead and tell the whole world that he didn't stay dead. I'm so glad that my Lord didn't stay dead. I'm so glad that Jesus is alive and well. Hey, I want to tell you this. I'm just so glad that the Lord has given me breath to breathe. Amen.
Amen.
I when the Lord called me in the ministry, I said, Lord, there's no way I can do that. I'm in learning support. There's no way I'm smart enough to do that. And then the Lord brought my mind back to Moses, how Moses said he couldn't talk, that he would stutter. You know, I'm so glad that God chooses to use anybody. But I'm going to tell you this. The most thing that I am happy about was the day I gave my life to Christ. I'm happy that the Lord has blessed me ever since then. I'm happy that the Lord blessed me with a beautiful wife, a wife that loves the Lord, and a wife that encourages me every single day and prays for me. But again, most of all, I'm thankful that he didn't stay dead.
Amen.
I'm thankful that he's alive.
Amen.
If you're here today and you're lost, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you have a perfect opportunity right now of giving your life to him. Because he gave his all for you. He deserves our very best. Because he gave us the best. Thank you for your attention here this morning. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Brother Dennis, and how you want to end the service. But thank the Lord that he is alive.
Amen.
He's alive and well.